I'd like to start with Matthew, the 26th chapter. Now, I'd be willing to say that probably most everyone in here probably in some way or another has a false impression about themselves. In some way or another. And I'd like to have, Lord help me, in one of these messages to where the Lord points ourselves to ourselves to look at ourselves, that we'd be willing to allow God's opinion of us to reign above our own opinion of ourselves. And that we would realize that really, to rely on an opinion of yourself is a very foolish thing. Your heart will deceive you. You will see it wrong and desire it wrong when it comes to yourself. But it's the Lord who sees it the way it really is. And because it's true, there's a conflict then. So I'm going to have to be willing to give up the one in order to have the other. And that's right there is really what it comes down to, is for me to be able to acknowledge and say and accept that my way isn't the right way, and that I don't see things right, and that my way is a wrong way, or that I am capable of seeing things wrong. So I'm really desperate for the one that sees them right. And to help me because of that, of the way I see things. I'll say things, and you probably do too, that you really mean, that you really feel. And you would say, that's me. I feel that way. I think that way. One example is that we may be doing something, and my wife might ask me, well, honey, can we do this? And I'll say, well, let's not do it now. How about we do it tonight? Now, I don't know what the day is going to hold. But I mean it when I say it. It's just that I'm not tired and sleepy when I say it. I really say it with every meaning. I feel this way. I want to do it. But by the time it comes time to do it, I don't want to do it. But I really did want to do it. And when I said I wanted to do it, I really did want to do it. I really did feel that. But things change. And now I don't feel like it at all. So which one of me is right? Are you that? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And I'll say this, my wife won't mind me saying this. Sometimes she'll say, well, we do a lot of traveling. And she'll say, well, you want to leave tonight? No, I don't want to leave tonight because I'm tired. I don't know if I can stay awake. And she'll say, well, honey, I'll stay up with you and help you stay awake. Yeah, but you're wide awake now that when you're saying that. She means it. I mean, she feels it. She means it. But there's no opposition against the way she feels about it. But, okay, let's go. And then when it gets up in her hands, she says, I'm going to sleep for a while. But wait a minute. She really meant it and felt it when she said it. Right? So which one of her is right? You'll have a false impression of yourself about what you're capable of, what you want, what you desire, how you feel about things. You'll have some misconceptions about yourself. There's one that has no misconceptions. That's why I'm desperate for his opinion above my own opinion, above the way I feel. Lord, help me to see who I really am, other than the way I feel, because I will judge myself by the way I feel about the moments. You do too, no doubt. I'll tell you something about myself and probably about the other preachers, but I can't speak for them really, but I can speak for myself. I can get up here behind this pulpit and get going and get to feeling things and to get passionate, more desire, and I can say things in my fervor and desire that I mean with all my heart. It's just tomorrow when the attack comes, I ain't saying it the same way. Which one of me is right? The one that was so bold and stood there, and I mean to go right on, and tomorrow I don't know. I don't know about that so much. Because I feel different than I did up there under the anointing. I feel like a little scared boy now that don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. So which one of me is the real me? I can have a false conception about myself. I get there at Monarch sometimes and the singing's gone and, oh, Lord, I got this one. Victory all the way. I mean it now. Boy, I got her now. Monarch ends and life starts back. And I hit the battles again. Which one of me was the real me? You know, there's the Lord knows through all the emotions and all of the things. We are desperate for the Lord. I've got to acknowledge something tonight. I have my ups and I have my downs and my passionate moments and my lacking moments and all of that. But the real thing is I've got to depend on the Lord for the grace for the moments of my life. It is a choice that I say, Lord, I really don't know me. You do. Now, you're in this passage of Scripture, Matthew 26 and 31. It says, "Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night." Talking to his disciples. All of you are going to be offended because of me. Now, what was he saying? Wasn't an offended feeling of necessarily their hurt feelings. Jesus was about to rock their world. You know, we all like consistent comfort. We like consistent. We like. I like security. I like to know what the day will hold. I like to know what life is about. I like to know that it's going to be okay. I like security. I like things to be in order. I like those. Jesus is about to rock their world because they had saw Jesus and understood and recognized Him to be the Son of God and the power and the glory that was on Him, and He spake as other men didn't, and He commanded the devils and He commanded things and He commanded the elements of the earth, and He done all those things, and they saw it and believed it and hung their hope and their all of it on it, and they knew who He was, but they didn't know who they were. They acknowledged who He was, but they didn't know who they were. So Jesus says, you're all going to be offended. You're all going to be confused. You're all going to be rocked. And you're all going to say, why did He do that? I give up all to follow this one that had all this power. Why? Is this how? I don't understand this. I don't understand this. It wasn't Him that they didn't understand themselves.
That's right. Amen.
Jesus says, it is written. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Now, there's something very interesting here, I think we'll all acknowledge. It wasn't in the plan of God for any of these disciples to be crucified with the Lord. They couldn't save anybody. Their blood was not worth anything. There was never a plan that Jesus was going to have somebody to go with Him all the way. The Scripture said He was going to tread the winepress alone. This, what He had to do, He's going to do it alone. And it was always planned to be that way. And God wasn't going to cause it to be that way. And God had no particular gift for it. And He had no particular grace for it. So how do these men think they're going to do it? understand that they know how they feel about Him. But they didn't know who they were. You know, we're all ought to acknowledge that, Lord, I need Your help. I am not diminishing the fact that we can have an experience, a no-so salvation, and we can have a no-so desire that I know I want to serve the Lord, and I know the Lord's got the power, and by His grace I can do something. Ought to be every one of our testimonies. It isn't that I'm saying something against victory here. But we really don't know who we are without the Lord. You think, you imagine, you have some ideas in the fervor of the night, you can explain yourself or say, this is who I am. But you don't know really what drives you unless the Lord reveals it to you. Unless the Lord helps you, you don't even see yourself about who you are. The Lord said you're all going to be scattered, and they couldn't believe Him. He said something that was directly opposed to the way they feel and thought. They thought. Now the reason why I said at the beginning of this that I could say that most everybody in here had a false opinion of themselves in some way or another. The reason I said almost is because I wanted there to be a outlet for every one of you to say it's not me. Because that's generally what it's going to be. Well, He didn't say everybody, so that one, it must be me. I'm the one that's not. I'm the one that's got it straight here. Every one of them thought this. They had an opinion of themselves. But after I am risen again, I will go before you in Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Lord, oh Lord, you know, Lord, listen, you've done a lot of things. that miracle of turning the wine, the water into wine, notable miracle. The miracles of the blind man seeing, Lord, I mean that was really good. And calming the sea was beyond anything that I could imagine. But I got to let you in on something. You've missed it on this one. I'm not going to do it. Though all men would be offended at you, meaning confused by you, lost confidence in Him. You're going to lose confidence in me. You're going to lose the confidence in the things I've told you. You're going to be confounded. The shepherd's going to be smitten, and you're going to be like shepherd, and you're not going to know what to do. Everybody but me. Lord, I'm not going to be offended at you. I love you, and my love that I have for you, Lord, is supreme in all my life. It runs everything I do, Lord. Right? That's why He was saying it. Lord, I've given up the fishing nets for you. I'm with you. I'm with you all the way. I'll never do it. No, all men... Do you know, there's not a doubt in my mind that Peter, at that particular time and point in his life, meant every word he was saying with all of his heart. He meant that. He was not. He meant that. And that's why he meant it, and he knew he meant it, and that's why he was saying the Lord's got to be wrong here. It has to be. I know this about myself. I know how I feel right now. But it's easy to say I'll stay awake when I ain't sleepy. You know, it's really easy to go on a diet when your stomach's full. There have been times that I filled up so much that I said, I'm glad to go on a diet. Until lunchtime. But I don't feel hungry. I don't want to eat. As a matter of fact, I've eaten so much right now that I don't want anything to eat. I might not eat for days, I'll say sometimes. Do you know I am not thinking I'm exaggerating when I say that? I feel that way. I am so full, I just don't want to eat no more. I won't eat for days, it just feels like that. But I'm not hungry. Peter said, Lord, all men may be offended at you, but I'll never be offended. Never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, You're wrong. It's not the way I feel. Though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. And likewise also said all the disciples. They followed Peter's lead and says, I love him just as much as Peter does. Do you love the Lord tonight? Well, this is a good setting for it. You get to hear the good testimonies about what the Lord's done. You get your heart stirred up. It's a good time to say, I love the Lord. Loving is not just words. They're good words, but they're not just words. I wonder sometimes just how much the words even really got to do with it. Isn't it the actions? Isn't it more than just the words? All the disciples believed with all their heart and told the Lord, Lord, we're with you. We're with you. It's the way we feel. I can say I'll die. I'll die. But we don't know ourselves real well. So then Jesus cometh them into a place, Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. Now remember that the apostles, every one of them, Peter especially, has assured the Lord that we love you enough to die for you. We give my life to you. So he, and the Lord does this, folks. I have run into this all my saved life. The Lord puts gauges. You know, like on your vehicles, you got gauges. Shows you how warm the vehicle's running. A gauge will show you what kind of oil pressure you have. A gauge will show you something, how much gas is in there. Oh, you got gauges, that indicators, gauges. You know, I found all my saved life that God puts gauges. There's ways of answering those questions without just going by the feelings. The ways the Lord will say to us, how much do you? How important is my word to you? How important is it? And I'll run into a gauge every once in a while that says, how important is that? Now, they just assured the Lord that they would die for Him. They'll die for Him, but they won't pray for Him. Oh, come on now. I love the Lord with all my heart. I just don't love to go to service. So I stay home and do other things. Now, come on. Really? Really? I love the Lord. I just don't love that brother. Really? I mean, you think you can really make that argument to the Lord? I love the Lord with all my heart. I just am not really interesting. Don't get anything out of the Scriptures. Really? Those are all gauges. If you love me, keep my commandments. I love the Lord with all my heart, but I just got these things I like to do. Really? It's not very believable. You can have the feelings about what the Lord's done for you and how you feel about it. But you can always do that. I can do that about popcorn. I really like to have some popcorn times. I really have a craving for popcorn, so it becomes very valuable. All of a sudden I got these feelings, I don't know, some popcorn. I'm craving some popcorn. Just got to have it. You get something like that and you just got, but how valuable really is those kind of things? But he sets it, immediately there's a gauge set there for the disciples. He says to them, sit here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. You said you would die for me. I'm going to give you a little gauge. Come and go with me. I'm going to instantly show you who you are if you'll watch. Are you willing tonight to watch the gauges that the Lord wants to place in your life? I guarantee you, you don't know you like you think you do. I shouldn't say you. One doesn't. I don't. Unless the Lord reveals me to me, I'll be delusional about myself and about how I really am. How much I got and who I am and how spiritual I am. All those things as I'll feel. If it isn't the Lord, by His grace, it won't be true. So here's the gauge, apostles. You said you would die for me. Will you pray for me? Will you stay up with diligent effort? No, I love the Lord. I can keep my eyes open. No, but wait a minute, Lord. When I said that I wouldn't deny you, I wasn't as sleepy as I am now. Because now they get to be very weary and very sleepy. And the edge has went off of the feeling that they had. And they did not know themselves. It says, and He says, and then my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep. You know, there was nobody going to the cross with Jesus. There was no plan, no gift, no grace, no power. They couldn't have done it. But He did give them some place that they could go. They could go to Gethsemane. You and I can't go to the cross with Jesus. There's a work that only Jesus can do. I can't be God. But He gives me a place up close to Him. A place that I can prove how much I'll put into this. I got my Gethsemane. I got a place that I've got to go. Jesus asked of the closest ones to Him, the ones that was not going to, that assured Him of who they were, what they thought they were, and now they're asleep. They were tired. They'd went a long ways. All of these things of the human. This is the point. Do you know, unless we find the grace of God to accomplish these things in our lives, we don't have them. To assume that we by human ability that can accomplish any of these things is foolishness. You can't assume yourself to accomplish spiritual things just because you got power to do it. You'll never be able to do it. It's by God's grace that we do it. It's by the acknowledgement that I'm not. I'm not soup. I'm not a divine person. I need help from God to have the grace to be what I've got ought to be. I need Your grace to be what I have. If I don't get Your grace, Lord, I won't be the husband that I ought to be. I won't be the father. I won't be the minister. I won't be I won't be faithful if I don't get those things from You. I can assume who I am. I want to be. It's my desire to be. But I can't accomplish it without God. You can't either. And you'll have a false opinion of yourself, of where you're at, unless you abandon yourself. Unless you abandon the idea of who you are, and abandon that, and say unto the Lord, by Your grace, I will be what You want me to be. Not by my own physical human power can I do any of these things, but by Your grace. The perfect example, they really meant this, folks, really. They meant this. Jesus was very, very important to them. Yes. And they meant that they would die. But they wasn't in the battle yet. You know how many times I've heard somebody positively declare something? I will. And I usually want to get a little distance from them when they do that. I've seen those same declarations fall at people's feet. fall that they didn't able to do. It wasn't able to accomplish the thing that they stood right there. They was trying to stand there. This is who I am and I know what I'll do and be. And they fell miserably at it. Because they never really went and found out from the Lord who they really were. And whether that strength and power was coming from the Lord. You know, I can stand up here tonight and proclaim some of our doctrinal things. And I can if I can proclaim that you can live free from sin, it's by God's grace that you do it. If I can stand up here and say that I can go through any kind of manner of sickness and with a perfect trust and confidence in the Lord, you can. But it's by God's grace that you can. It's by His power that you can. It's by living close to Him and being prayerful and watchful that you can. It's not because you think you can. It's because God's faithful, not because you can do anything. And when we get this kind of feeling, folks, we can be so delusional about Himself. There's trouble going on and I ain't causing any of it. Everybody else is causing the trouble. How many times have I looked and seen and have to answer, really? You just don't see yourself. You think every word you say is the right word said and everybody ought to do the right thing because you said those words and you're stirring up trouble. But I never can see. You know, the Lord will come time, we'll be honest with ourselves. You know, the Lord will come and say, would you stop causing trouble? You know how many times I've misjudged myself? I was doing something one day and I was walking, doing something and working. I think I had my chainsaw or something and I got a vine wrapped around my foot or something and I tripped, fell down or busted my shin on top, just something happened, and I grumbled. Oh, why does that have to? I was just grumbling. And it was just so specific. Why did you fight against me? That come right to me just as it. Why did you fight against me? And you know, I was just like Peter. I said, Lord, I don't fight against you. I fight against these things that hinder me. Yeah, right. Okay. I get it. Lord, I get it. You're saying that you allow things to happen. Slow me down. Help me. If I'll take it right, if I can see it right. But I see you better than I see me. Honestly. But it's probably because I'm more willing to see you. You know, it can be ugly seeing me sometimes. I don't like to face who the Lord wants to show me I am sometimes. But if you want to be successful, that's the way to do it. I thought I could do this, Lord, and all of a sudden I find I can't do it. I don't know what the years may hold, but if the Lord tarries and I follow the path of some of the older folks that I'm seeing and what they're facing, I'm going to need God to help me. I'm kind of a free roaming type person. I don't like to sit still long, and I like to go, and I like to do, and I like to be busy, and I like to be pinned down, and I do that, and I see people getting pinned down. I see people's life changing and I look at that sometimes and I say, Lord, if that's what you got in mind for me, I know enough about me to know this. I'm really going to need your help. Because that's really going to cross me, Lord. That's really... I ain't gonna stand up here and say, I got this one and I'm breezing through it. Because I thought, I need the Lord. And I need the Lord to help me to see those kind of things in my life and to understand, I really need the Lord. Lord, I need you in this thing. I need you to show me who I am and how to get better with it. To acknowledge it. This is who I am. This is Marty right here. The apostles couldn't, they were asleep. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith to Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Do you think that that just happens to be there at that time like that? In that kind of a statement, saying to Peter, Peter, get ready. You couldn't watch 1 hour. I'm looking for a lifelong commitment and you promised me that and you couldn't go 1 hour. Did you see the gauge? The gauge isn't near up like you think it is. In your determination. You believed it. You thought that. But this is where you're really at. You're weak in the flesh, Peter. And the hard times is going to come. It's going to be much harder than just fighting sleep now. If you run with the footmen and they wearied you, what are you going to do when the horses come? When I didn't keep up with the things that I could physically do, if I had the desire to do it, they could have stayed awake. They didn't. What are you going to do when the things that are so much bigger than you come? I see the gauge, Lord. I see it. If I'm going to run with the horses, I'm going to need a divine power to run. I'm going to need something for you to be able to help me do it. Or I won't be able to do it. Couldn't watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith to them, sleep on. Well, they didn't see themselves, did they? You know, folks, honestly, we ain't going to see ourselves very well either. We need to turn that over to the Lord and be willing to say, Lord, I don't see myself well. I'm not leaning on the way I see myself, but I'm going to lean on You. I'm going to get rid of me and my opinions of all that, and I'm going to start judging myself by the Word and by Your grace and Your power to be able to do what I need to do. Another scripture I want to tie into this is over in the 18th chapter of Luke. I remember back when there was a famous basketball player named Michael Jordan, won a number of championships, was considered at the time, was a young man, about 30, maybe a little older for basketball, but he wasn't an old man. And he shocked the basketball world by saying he was going to retire, right in the prime, considered best basketball player ever lived. So he retires from basketball. And he decides that he's going to play baseball. He's going to try to play Major League Baseball. Well, there was a lot of conversation about that. I remember going to work one morning and listened to National Public Radio. They had a little show on there, a little deli on there, and they went and interviewed these people. What do you think? Went and asked some of the major sports people, athletes, what do you think about the possibility of Michael Jordan playing baseball? Ask a number of them. And to a man, every one of them said, he'll never be able to do it. He'll never succeed. Totally different game. Takes different coordinations, different ways of thinking. Said, he's a great athlete, no doubt. The best, probably, ever was at basketball. But he'll never be able to succeed in baseball. Can't do it. They were right. He never was really that good.
at baseball. He played, went to minor leagues, went to, I think, a team in Alabama, Birmingham, I think he was, part of Birmingham, and he went and he was in the minor leagues, tried to work his way up. Honestly, he just wasn't that good. They all had a right. But then they asked him another question. Do you believe you could excel in another professional sport? And every man, down to a man, said yes. Every one of them judged Michael Jordan right. And almost without a doubt, they all judged themselves wrong. Every one of them didn't look at their flaws. They looked at their strong points. And would apply it to some other sport and be able to say that they could compete and be successful. None of them tried to do it, so it wasn't proven that I know of. But I would say they were all wrong, and that's the nature of it. But I think we're desperate to see ourselves. The system that the Lord set up is not an automatic system. Lightnings and thunders, and you change in the middle of the night. It comes from the strong desire to serve the Lord and want to know what the Lord wants and desire for your life and to want to know how to change the things that need to be changed. You can live for the Lord for 50 years and have major problems. Is that what we want? Lord, help me to be an overcomer from these things. Well, here's a scripture in the 18th chapter of Luke. Ninth verse says that he spake a parable unto a certain which trusted in himself. Now, let me say read that again. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. That those that trusted in themselves, the abilities and powers that they had to make things and change things and see things and know who they are and what they're about. And he spoke this to those that trusted in themselves to be able to know who they are and judge themselves right about who they are. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, give tithes all that I possess. I'm just a good feller. Now, here's the credentials. Is this a good fella or not? He says he is. What do you say? You know, it's not really important what he said or what we said. It's very important what the Lord said. He said all that stuff about himself. This is who I am. See it plainly. I know how I feel about myself. I know what I do. I got all this down. I'm not an extortioner. Thank God. I thank God I'm not an extortioner. You know, I thank God I'm not an extortioner. I thank God He saved me from being an extortioner. I'm glad I don't go around stealing stuff. You know, I used to steal stuff. Oh, I never stole no major thing. And I ain't proud of the thing I did. But you know, it's just kind of in there. I stole I don't even think it was Walmart back then. It was old Hex store or whatever they was. Remember those? I think that's what it was. Stole a little Nerf ball out of there one time. Not because I wanted it or needed it. I wanted to see if I could get by with it. So I stole it out of there just for that reason. You know, we have that in us. From the time we grow up, I have no claims to any righteousness outside the Lord. I don't have any claims that I'm good, that I can do anything. But I have, by the grace of God, I'm not what I would have been because of the grace of God. And the only way I'm going to continue anything is because of the grace of God. That's the only reason I can see The only way I can be successful will be because of the grace of God. Me acknowledging, Lord, I'm not good by myself. I'm good because You died to make me good. I'm no different than this guy over here. This guy was wrong in his attitude. He was wrong about himself. He wasn't what he thought he was in the sight of God. He thought God appreciated him so much that He owed him something. He was so good that God owed him. That's how good he was. I can miss this out and God will favor me because He owes me. I've done so much for God. You know? Can we feel higher than somebody else because we got the order of things? I do thank God for what God's given us, the truth, the standards, the church. I thank God for all of those. But those aren't my making. Those are gifts of God. Amen. And they're available to everybody to live by, to be blessed by, to have. It doesn't extol me or put me up above somebody that don't have them just because I do. It extols it. It's the Lord that's lifted up. Amen. This guy says, I'm glad I'm not like this publican is. When there was something about this publican that he should have been glad to be like. Because the Lord really favored him. And the publican stood afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. But he smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. You know what the difference was? One of them was honest about who he was. Willing to see himself for who he was. He didn't justify anything. He kept his head down and smote himself on his breast. Shameful, sorry, contrite, broken. Lord, have mercy on me. A sinner. Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. And he that humble himself shall be exalted. Lord, help us to learn how to humble ourselves before the Lord. And look at the gauges that the Lord has out there about our lives. Amen. And who we really are. You know King David, which was a man after God's own heart, actually had times in his life that he was delusional about who he was. There come a time that he should have been doing the work of the Lord that he was called to do, and he didn't do it. And he got himself in trouble. And it took... He didn't see himself. When the prophet come and told him the story about his life, he didn't see it. He didn't even see the very story that was perfectly him and what he had done. So much so that he said, boy, we'll judge others. I'm going to tell you, you get out of the way and I got something to say to you. And it said of him that his wrath was kindled, and he said, and this man shall surely die, for this was awful that he done his neighbor that way. Terrible thing to do. Paying for a fault, he should die for that. And the prophet said, thou art the man. God said, through the prophet, David, it's time to see yourself. Amen. Oh, how much easier, how much more we would be spared by living a daily way of saying, Lord, help me to see myself the way I should see myself. Another scripture, very familiar over in Revelations. Third chapter of Revelations. 15th, well, I'll go to the 14th. It says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot. You know, Brother Rod Smith brought that out in a way that Oh, I have to say, I think it's a better way of looking at it. I always thought of being cold as not having anything, just cold. Well, that wouldn't be good. Maybe it would be better than lukewarm. I don't know. But he brought that out different than that. You know, I like a good hot drink sometime. I mean, on a cold day. Being hot can be... There's nothing warms me up faster when I'm cold than to get something real warm, real hot, and drink it. There's a benefit to it. And then when it's real hot, there's a real refreshing in something cold. I'm not so sure we look at that. I think that's a better way of looking at that passage of Scripture. I would that you'd be on those things because they're both a blessing. That's usable. There's something obnoxious about lukewarm. The other ends of it, it isn't that he's saying that you'd be better off to be a sinner. That's never good. Maybe it would be better off. Maybe you can make the argument. I'm not sure that's what it means. I think there's a work on both ends that is something that can touch people's lives. But you were lukewarm. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. And I have need of nothing. And listen to this. And knowest not. Knowest not that God isn't approving of your temper. God isn't approving of your backbiting tongue. God isn't approving of the way you take exceptions with your brother. God isn't approving of those things. But thou knowest not. Thou never sees yourself. I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. I'm seeing everything. I can't help from wondering, and I'll leave it this way, but I can't help from wondering, are we missing something sometimes? Or I can say this, just as a question. Are you sure that you're doing what the Lord wants you to do? That your gifting has been fulfilled? I don't know how it is everywhere, but I know how it is where I go. And maybe it's supposed to be this way. But I just want to suggest something. Is there really only two or three people that's supposed to pray? And it don't make no difference how long I wait sometimes. Nobody else prays. Really? I mean, I'm just asking a question. Are you sure that you don't have any more involvement? Well, you say, well, it's embarrassing and you do it better. I've been embarrassed so bad by what I've done. Preaching and testifying and praying sometimes and stumbling over my words and all of that. That's no good excuse. Are we sure God don't want us to do something more? Have a more active, maybe? Yes. Well, I'm rich and increased with goods. I have need of nothing. I'm right there. I'm right there. Only thing I have to ask is, are you sure? Are you willing? Would you be willing to say, Lord, would you help me? If there's anything else I should be doing, I want to do it. Is there anything wrong with getting under the burden of prayer and saying, Lord, how can I make our congregation better? How can I make it more lively in the Lord? How can I be a better blessing to everybody? Would it be okay before service for you to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, do you want me to do anything tonight? Lord, maybe you give me the burden of prayer and let me lead out in prayer tonight. I'm just asking, are you sure? No, I know myself. And I know the Lord is not interested in me doing anything other than what I do. I'm sure of it. He says to these people, you know it's not. You never did see yourself. You did not see. You looked at yourself and said, I'm rich and increased with goods and I have no need of nothing. We're a perfect place. And you can say, I'm happy in the Lord. I'm happy in the Lord. I love the Lord. I just don't love Him enough to go faithfully on Sunday night. Just let the two or three that go pray and do it. And let them go and do it if they want to do it. I just don't feel like I'm a part of that. And I'll go Wednesday night when it feels real good. When I feel like I have a need, or I'll go Wednesday nights. I'll give something to the Lord. I love the Lord. The gauges are not getting up there real good. Knowest thou not? They didn't know that they were in the eyes of the Lord, the miserable, wretched, poor, blind, and naked. Honestly, how can you see, not see that you're miserable, wretched, poor, blind, and naked? Surely one of those is going to come to the forefront and let me see that I'm miserable, wretched, poor, blind, and naked. But I ought to be able to see that. I guarantee you everybody else sees that I'm miserable, wretched, poor, blind, and naked. But I don't see it. Well, I'm rich and increased with good. And just as spiritual as I can be. And go along spiritual. Well, I think the Lord wants to do something more.
Amen.
I'm just really not satisfied that there's only two people that will pray out in a congregation. I just think that the Lord wants somebody else doing it.
Amen.
I think I'm not the Holy Ghost. I ain't pointing to anybody or what their duties is. I'm just saying, are you sure that you're seeing yourself right? Are you sure that you got it right? Because most of us at some point or another is going to be delusional about ourselves. And we're going to feel like, oh no, it's not me the Lord's calling because I don't feel like I can do that. I don't feel like I can. Well, you know what? I never went by what I felt like. I kept the promise I told the Lord when He saved me. I told Him, I said, Lord, if You'll save me, I'll do whatever You want me to do. And by the Lord's help, that's what I aim to do. He saved me and I still aim to keep that promise. Lord, whatever You want me to do, I want to do it. It might be hard. But Lord, help us to see ourselves. I counsel thee to buy of me. See, the Lord knows that these folks are miserable, wretched, poor, blind, and naked. He knew that. But He didn't send a lightning bolt to change them in the middle of the night while they was asleep. He reveals to them that they're miserable, wretched, poor, blind, and naked. Then He says to them, I say to you, I counsel you now. Did you see that position? And you buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see, that you might be able to see what? See, Brother Clint. So that's what the Lord wants me to see. He wants me to see Brother Clint to make him accountable and help him out. That's what that would be my duty. Or that he might... No. The eye salve is so I can see myself. So I can see clearly myself and where I'm at. And whether I'm allowing my fleshly desires to rule my life into suggesting of being spiritual. Lord, help us. I hope you don't take this as being critical. I definitely don't mean it this way. But you know what? I really do have a desire that the church would be everything that it should be. With every gift that it can have. With every victory that it can gain. I'd like to see power at the altar. Both to save, to sanctify, and to heal.
I'd like to see the power of God reign in our testimonies, our singing, the inspiration be so evident in everything. Oh, it comes with a sacrifice. But I'd like to see a people in 2015 and beyond willing to take the sacrifice and willing not to justify the life that we live in the world that we do, but to stand up to that time, be able to fight the battle that the Lord wants us to. Not because we're anything, but because we see clearly that it is the Lord and it's the Lord all the way. And it's by His grace. I believe every one of us can be successful by His grace. I also believe that at some point we got to let go of ourselves, our opinions, who I am to myself, and allow the Lord to take that, make that, be whatever it is. Paul says in one place something to this effect, "It's no great thing that you judge me. It's no great thing that you judge me. For I don't judge myself," he said. "Until the Lord, the one that sees everything, comes and judges me. So if you lay judgment on me, it's no big thing to me. It's no great thing. Because I'm not willing even to make that judgment about myself. Because I have this tendency," I think Paul was saying, and I know I have that tendency. I have a tendency to see myself favorable to myself. And so I better wait until the Lord comes and lays judgment on that. I remember one time praying. Oh, there was somebody in my life that had a certain thing in their life that was obviously a wrong way of doing things. It just was obvious to me. And I was down in prayer, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "You do the same thing." And I literally said, "I do not. No, I do not. I think that's awful what they do, and I wouldn't do that." "You do that too." "No, I don't." You know, all of a sudden, things started working in my mind. And I had to say, I changed my whole prayer. You know what I prayed for that person? "Lord, would you have mercy on them?" I do the same thing. I never even saw it. And I did, and I was laying an awful judgment on them of being bad. And I didn't see me like that. You know, Job, old Job had these people. I think they called them friends. I think they was as sincere as they could be. I don't think that they was out to hurt him. They were called friends. They was people that was trying to get to the right thing. You know what the end of that was? You know, Job done right through all of that. He did. Job kept his integrity through it all. And you know, at the end of Job, the Lord said about those miserable comforters, "I'm displeased with you because you didn't tell what's right concerning me." The Lord said that about them. Then He told that to Job and told Job to pray for him. Job got the blessing when he prayed. You know, those friends was just as sincere as they could be, but they were wrong. And you can be just as sincere as you want to be and be just as wrong as you can be. And don't know the difference. The Lord told Moses one time to go speak to the rock. Well, you remember one time He told him to go strike the rock? And the Lord, Moses went out there and struck the rock. Next time He told Moses to go out and speak to it. God wasn't angry like Moses was. Moses went out with anger and struck the rock. He misrepresented God. And God was angry because he did. He said, "Well, Moses, you're supposed to be representing me. I told you to go speak to the rock." He went out there and he was angry with the people, so he struck the rock. You know, he was wrong. I think if you'd asked Moses, he would have said, "I didn't think I was.
I thought I was doing right. And was just as wrong as I could be. And then unless the Lord helps us to know what right is in our own lives. Folks, it is, I'm going to tell you, it is the toughest place we have to deal with. I'm going to tell you something else. You know one of the easiest things for us to do? Is to be a hypocrite. Now, I'm not accusing anybody of being a hypocrite. I'm just going to tell you, one of the easiest things for us to do is to have hypocrisy in our lives. This is the way it works. We are very high standard people. We believe in things. We believe very much in things and things that are valuable. We live our lives that way. But you don't have the ability to live it unless you stay close to the Lord. Okay? You'll fail. And when we get weak and not keep up our lives with the Lord, we fail in the Lord. And it's easy not to want that to be seen. And so we become, if we're not careful, a people that have the outward when we lose the inward. Can I warn you tonight? Be honest with yourself enough to say, Lord, help me not to be a hypocrite. Because I can maintain it outwardly in front of the people better than I can keep it inwardly in my heart. Help me to see myself that I can keep it in my heart. That it can come out right in my outward man. That I not be caught and be called a hypocrite. I'm going to tell you, Lord help us. We are so much better off to find out about ourselves in the time part of this, on this earth. We are so much better off to face ourselves here now. We should all pray, Lord, help me to not have to face any of these hidden things without dealing with them first. I don't want to have to be enlightened about who I was when I stand before the Lord. Lord, help me to be enlightened about who I am now. To be able to see who I am now, that I might be able to deal with it and be able to stand before You with peace. You pray for me.